Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we've been having a lot of fun today. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here taking you up until 5:30. We'll see if the Royals play today. It has been rainy and wet all day, so I don't know if they're going to play or not. The Royals sometimes let this thing go maybe a little longer than they should. People get in there, then they end up canceling the game, and then people are mad. So I don't know what's going to happen. Right now, they are scheduled to play baseball later today, but I don't know if they're going to play baseball. I haven't been outside in a few hours. It doesn't look too great outside today, so I at least want to let you know what the update is when it comes to the Royals, as in right now, there really is no update with the Kansas City Royals. I cannot stop playing this audio. And part of what makes Yes so incredible to me is if you are a Royals fan, you have been on the other end of those kind of losses for basically your entire fanhood. If you are a longtime Royals fan, you've seen some stuff. The Royals have done some amazing things in a negative sense for most of our lives. I mean, we can think of like five Ken Harvey incidents just off the top of our head. The Royals have lost plenty of games the way that the White Sox did yesterday. They very rarely are the team that wins that way. We talked about this earlier, and I'll bring it to you guys in the 5 o'clock hour. I look at the Royals as these kinds of wins to me are just the evolution of them as a baseball team and as an organization. The Royals have been the team that the other team didn't really have to do too much. Just move out of the way. The Royals bullpen will blow it. The Royals will run into outs on the base pass. The Royals will have a critical error at the wrong time. And eventually, you'll look up and the Royals lost that game 5-3 when you were sure going into the eighth inning that today was their day. And it feels good that we are, what, a month and a half into the season, maybe a little bit more. The Royals don't have that loss. They're not a perfect team by any means. But you know what the Royals don't do? They don't lose these kinds of games anymore. The Royals made some plays yesterday. Absolutely. You got to put the bunt down. Bobby has to hit the ball in play. You have to do some things. But you know what they did yesterday? They simply let the White Sox be the White Sox. That's what they did. They moved out of the way and they let the White Sox be the White Sox. And they're the second worst team in baseball. It wasn't really that hard. Don't screw it up. The White Sox are a team. Oh, they're going to screw it up. This won't be the last time that they lose a game like this. I mean, it was bad yesterday. A ball gets lost in the lights. It hits their second baseman on the head. Look like Jose Canseco. Bloop, just bounced off his head. You then can't field a bunt. You then can't throw to second base. Just so many errors yesterday. And the Royals are right there to, okay, I'll pick that up. All right, I'll pick that up. And when Denny Matthews, who has been calling Didi Matthews has been calling Royals games since 1969. It's 2025. He's been there, game in, game out, from the beginning. When Diddy Matthews says the things that he says in this clip, it is so funny to me. I think I know Diddy fairly well. He's been on the show now, what, for a decade? We talk to Diddy once a week. Diddy last year told me that he believes the White Sox are the worst team he's ever seen. That's somebody who used to call games for the 04 Royals. That's somebody who called games for the 05 Royals. Diddy is in his 80s. He ain't really mincing words at this point. That's the worst baseball team I've ever seen. He said yesterday that the White Sox ninth inning is one of the five worst innings he's ever seen in his life. Listen to this.
Lead at first, in comes the pitch. Jammed him in a high pop-up on the infield. And it's off the glove of the second baseman. They're going to throw the ball to second widely. They had a force play there. And here you go. The White Sox are on the verge of burping up this game. It's the old story, folks. He squares to body, gets it down. How are they going to mess this one up? No throw. Boozer picked it up, had no play. And the bases are loaded. And the White Sox are on the verge of handing the Royals the game. So I started to say, it's a familiar refrain, same old story. Good teams figure out a way to win in the late innings. Bad teams figure out a way to lose in the late innings. And boy, if we haven't seen a perfect example of that right here in front of us in the last 5 minutes, then you need another videotape, because this is just a perfect example. Jake, you said it off air. You said that might be the worst ninth inning of any major league game I have ever seen. And I've seen a few, and it would probably make my top five. That was,
it's up there.
It was embarrassing.
I mean, it certainly was. I made this analogy earlier for those of you that missed it. Every man has been in this position. You had a chance with her. You guys were on a date. Maybe you guys had been sending messages back and forth and she was about to agree to the first date. Maybe the first date was going well and she was very much open to going on date number two. You did or said something really stupid that she wants nothing to do with you anymore. She's about to start ghosting you. Oh, hey, I thought yesterday it went well. Yeah, it did. Until you happened. Everybody's been in that position before. The Royals might be in that position where they do some stuff at the end. I'm just happy that the Royals are now the team that you don't cost yourself in that way anymore. You're not that team. They're going to lose in the ninth. They're going to blow a lead. They're not going to do what the White Sox just did. They did more than just lose yesterday. I mean, it was self-inflicted wound after self-inflicted wound. Even the ball that's hit in the to center field from Bobby Wood Jr. just looks like the guy just, to me, doesn't matter. I mean, doesn't matter if I catch it or not catch it. I mean, I can't throw this guy out. Just everything about the final 5 minutes, the final inning, just was a team that looks like they have no hope, no direction, no optimism, no nothing. I'm just happy that the Royals are no longer on that end of it, that they have come out on the other side. And we talk about all the time in the NFL, there is a difference between Super Bowl contending teams and playoff teams. There's a difference. The Royals, I think, have proven they are a playoff team. They were a playoff team last year. They look like they're trending to be a playoff team again this year. This is what it looks like when a playoff team plays maybe the worst team in baseball. That's what it looks like. That's the difference. The Royals are not losing this series to this team. They didn't lose a series last year to them. There's nothing that has changed with the White Sox that would make me think that they're about to take this series from the Royals. Nothing. They were bad yesterday. They were really, really bad yesterday. So that is story number one, what happened with the Royals last night in their game, and we'll see if they play later today. It doesn't look like the weather could possibly not cooperate. All right, Rob, let's talk about the trade. You and I haven't talked a whole lot about the George Pickens trade that sent him to Dallas. Sometimes there are moves where I think benefit both sides. I think a lot of times with trades, we always talk about, like, who won the trade? Who lost the trade? Like, can't both teams win the trade? Like, both teams equally benefited from this trade. If you're Pittsburgh, I don't think you can move forward anymore with George Pickens. I don't think that George Pickens is a winning player. I don't think that he is a player that contributes to the winning culture of your team. Sure, he puts up nice fantasy football numbers. He'll have 900 yards this year. He'll have 3-4 touchdowns. He'll have a couple of games that if you put him in your daily fantasy lineup, he's the difference in you making money and not making money. There's no question that he can put up numbers. And I think he's proven that. He proved that at Georgia. He also has proved it in the NFL. There's a reason why he was off some team's board. There is a reason why he wasn't a first-round pick. There is a reason why he was traded before his rookie contract is up. We're talking about a 1,000-yard receiver still on a rookie deal, and a team just said, we can't do this anymore. You guys got him. I mean, we'll take a third-round pick in next year's NFL draft. We don't want him. We'd rather have the draft pick next year than the player right now on the final year of his rookie deal. We are not paying him, and we don't want him around anymore. I know that there is frustration that the Chiefs didn't select George Pickens and they ended up taking Sky Moore instead, but I think we've also seen enough Chiefs drafts since then to know the kind of personalities and players and types that they like and the ones that they don't. Now, I'm not telling you that the Chiefs have just drafted nothing but choir boys over the last 4 or 5 years or so. That obviously isn't the case, but I think we have to look a little bit deeper than that. They don't really take on guys that don't fit in their locker room. They don't really take guys that don't fit in their culture. Yeah, some guy might have some off-the-field issues. Not all character concerns and character issues are built very differently. We don't have any reason to think that George Pickens has done anything off the field. He's just really difficult to work with and really difficult.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Difficult to be around and in a job that requires you to spend a lot of time around your teammates, travel with your teammates, bond with your teammates, and trust them with your health and safety. Being around people that you like seems like a really important characteristic for employment. And yes, some people can overcome it because they're really, really good. But eventually, I think you see, sometimes it doesn't matter how good you are. We just don't want you around anymore. Especially when in the last two regular season games, George Pickens was late. He was late to a game. I mean, I'll get here when I think I should be here. Late to the game. He then quit in their final regular season game. Just, I'm not going to run routes. I'm not going to catch passes today. I don't really want to be here. I don't think that's a culture that you can build around. And I think Pittsburgh took a stand today. Hey, we think you're really, really talented. We don't want you on our team anymore. I also think if you're Dallas on a one-year situation for a player who you would think this could be a wake-up call, I now got to get everything together to try to go get paid. Maybe I'll be on my best behavior this year. I'm in a new situation, a new team, a new locker room. I've got a great receiver next to me in CeeDee Lamb. I come here, I ball out, and I can go get paid this next year. Like, there is motivation for George Pickens to figure things out. But I think we have now enough evidence and enough proof. I see, and I've seen for quite some time, exactly why the Chiefs didn't go get George Pickens. Yes, he's very, very talented. Yes, he's better than Mecole Hardman. Yes, he's better than Juju. Yes, he's better than Sky Moore. I don't think he would have fit in this locker room. I can just see it after a game. The Chiefs win 24-7, and George Pickens is mad he didn't get enough targets or Mahomes didn't look his way. And I think the Chiefs looked at Pickens and said, yes, he's talented, but that's just not the kind of player that we want to deal with in our locker room. And they made the wrong decision about Sky Moore. There's no question. They made the right decision in not bringing George Pickens in and not using a draft pick on him.
Me and you see the whole George Pickens situation totally eye to eye. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind George Pickens is a better football player than Sky Moore. I do not believe George Pickens would have worked in Kansas City. I don't think it worked in Pittsburgh, if we're being honest. And I don't know it's going to work in Dallas. I have the ESPN up back here in the control room. Just keep an eye on breaking news, things of that nature. Blah, blah, blah. They open SportsCenter with a highlight cut. You know how usually when a player gets traded or something happens, there's a big highlight cut. If Patrick Mahomes is hurt, they throw highlights of the play. They also show him throwing touchdowns. When Travis Kelce inevitably retires from the NFL, his highlight package is going to show all the great plays. I get it. The 90 seconds of highlights they showed from George Pickens were him fighting a Commanders cornerback, him fighting a Cowboys cornerback, him slamming his helmet and fighting with people on the sideline, and a video of him in college when he was at Georgia fighting with Georgia Tech. That is what he is most notable for. He is way closer to Antonio Brown, Deontay Johnson level of dysfunction than he is someone that would have worked in Kansas City. The talent is undeniable. No one, not a soul on earth, has been able to maximize the talent without the problems. Georgia had the problems. The NFL knew about the problems because he fell into the third round. Now the problems have reemerged while on the Steelers. I have no doubt at some point this year when Brian Schottenheimer loses control of the locker room, we will see a video of him not handling it well in Dallas. That is what is happening with George Pickens, period.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, if he couldn't make it work with Tomlin, then I have my doubts. Tomlin, in my opinion, is a great coach. I think that Mike Tomlin has a lot of positives. There's no question about it. I think that Mike Tomlin is very, very good at X's and O's and gets the most out of his players. They are willing to take chances from a character standpoint that I'm not really sure if other teams were willing to take on. This is a theme with Pittsburgh. They took a chance on Antonio Brown, and yes, they made it work for a pretty decent amount of time. Eventually, they just said, no. No, AB, you go play for somebody else. I think Tomlin lost control of Antonio Brown. Followed up with Deontay Johnson. They had issues with Deontay Johnson, who I think quit on Pittsburgh. And they eventually just gave him away to the Carolina Panthers. Here, we don't want him anymore. Take him. They've now done the exact same thing with George Pickens. So we say, oh, well, if you can't make it work with Tomlin, Tomlin hasn't really shown me that he can make it work in these scenarios, that every team is willing to take on some level of risk. I don't believe that you can build a great football team with all choir boys. Like, I know it sounds bad and character matters and all that stuff. Like, if you're taking that hard line stand with football players, I don't think you can build a great team. I just don't think you can. They have taken chances in a way that I think affects how their team works, how their personalities work, how they communicate with each other, how they work together. Again, not all character issue, I think, is created the same. And yes, you are going to take on some players that, hey, maybe I don't like this. They have taken guys that I think are dysfunctional. AB is one of the biggest dysfunctional players that we've seen in recent memory. Deontay Johnson looks like a player who is going to be out of the league because of his attitude. And George Pickens, he didn't make it to the end of his rookie contract. I mean, that's the best value you can ever have a player. They just traded a 1,000-yard receiver for a third-round pick today. So, I think Tomlin's great, too. I got all the respect in the world for Tomlin, but he has just not shown me that they need to go in a different direction when it comes to character evaluation and the kind of players that they continue to bring into their locker room. All right, Rob, we got a little bit of time before we hand things off to Josh Vernier. Let's get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Kansas City's always hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Someone on the text line says you also forgot about Chase Claypool. Exactly. They've had this issue with just too many people over the last 5-6 years or so. No, really good point. I completely forgot about Chase Claypool. Is he even in the league now? He might be out of here.
Is he?
I don't think Chase Claypool's in the league. I could be wrong. Correct. I don't think he's in the league.
It was Robbie Anderson that changed his name, right?
Chosen Anderson.
Yeah, that's right. I remember there was a time where Chiefs fans were clamoring at the deadline for the Chiefs to try to trade for both of those players, but the Chiefs made the right decision and didn't trade for either.
Can we make hit number one about Isaiah Pacheco graduating from college?
We can absolutely, and then hit 1A can be your stats on seventh round running back, because he in fact was a seventh round running back.
See, I don't want to talk about running
seamless
back.
Seamless
right
transition.
I don't want to talk about running back anymore. I'm sure we'll talk about running back again at some point. You guys know where I stand. I wanted the Chiefs to spend more resources at running back. Can we talk more about Isaiah Pacheco graduating college? I don't think that story has, I don't think we talk nearly enough about that. I think that's pretty cool. I think it's really cool for Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, you won multiple Super Bowls. You've made millions of dollars. You got millions of dollars in your future. I mean, this took some amount of sacrifice for any of you that have a job and then made the decision to go back to school. You realize what kind of sacrifice from a time perspective it is. It's hard to do that. You leave college for whatever reason, and then you make the decision to go back, take the last couple of classes that you need, and to eventually get your degree. It's tough. It took some dedication and some focus to do that. So I would like for hit number one today, and if we get to hit number two, I like for hit number one to be a congratulations to Isaiah Pacheco, who graduated from Rutgers. You put the work in, you got your degree. And we'll see what you do with that degree when you're done making football. Like, you're going to make decent money. You're not going to make I never got to work again money. But you got a great head start on the second phase of your life. Make as much money playing football as you can. Have a great rest of your career in Kansas City for however long that lasts. Wherever you could possibly go after this. And then we'll see what happens. I actually do have a thought based off of that running back thing that we talked about earlier in the show. Do you think the Chiefs, after the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, which they spent a first-round pick on a running back and it didn't end up working out, do you think the Chiefs now maybe don't spend a decent enough draft pick on a running back because they don't want to be in a position where they have to pay said running back? I like Isaiah Pacheco. Unless Pacheco just has an amazing year, I don't really see a scenario in which Isaiah Pacheco prices himself out of what they could afford. Now, they could just simply say no. Let's say Isaiah Pacheco runs for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns this year. I mean, I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is getting $16 million a year. They will have a choice with Pacheco, and they'll just simply probably walk away if that's the scenario. I do wonder now if the Chiefs' plan after spending a big resource and missing is, well, now we're just going to go in the opposite direction. We're now just not going to spend a whole lot of money. Like, we're going to allocate these amount of resources to this position, and we're just not really willing to go above that. To bring back Kareem Hunt on a veteran deal, to bring in Elijah Mitchell also on a veteran deal, and then you spent the seventh round pick. I mean, you just can't really spend less resources or fewer resources on running back than Kansas City did this offseason. It's impossible to do. Impossible to do. I just wonder if that's just a financial, just we're done paying for this and we think we can get production for this cheaper, and we'll just never be in a position where in 5 years we got to end up paying this running back because he's outperformed his contract. All right, we had a lot of fun today. Check out the podcast page. We'll be back tomorrow after the Royals game. I'll catch you guys then. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.